if you do talk about the Palestinian people and their rights and the plight of the Palestinians, then you are connected to Hamas. And then all of a sudden you're connected to this is a terrorist organization, and it doesn't matter about those people.
Yeah.
It's the narrative is support of Israel equals you're on the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that regardless of how their policies impact individual human beings, through no fault of their own, just happen to be born Palestinian and been stuck in this apartheid state.
This is the Deed Show.
Girl, I love you very much. I want all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deed Show. The
Dean
Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam.
How are you doing, Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Personally blessed, but obviously aching for the ummah and the tremendous injustice that we're witnessing, that unfortunately is funded and supported by our tax dollars and enabled by our politicians. So really, really, to be honest, enraged. You know, I think enraged is the right word. Personally blessed, but we have to use our blessings to demand an end to the horrific injustice and crimes against humanity that our country, the United States, is funding and enabling.
When you say money now, some people don't understand how much. How much exactly are the American taxpayers putting out yearly for this?
Billions of dollars a year. Billions and billions of dollars a year. It's a ridiculous amount that could be better spent here at home. Instead, it's given to Israel to purchase weapons of death that are used against unarmed civilians, that are maiming children, that are making children orphans, that are cutting women and babies into pieces. Defenseless, harmless women and children are being killed in the thousands with our tax dollars. And meanwhile, the money we're giving them is actually being paid right back to the United States merchants of death, to corporations that profit billions of dollars from selling these weapons without a care in the world. And this is what people have to wake up to. The powers that be, they don't care about you or me. They don't care about Jews or Christians or Muslims. What they care about is power, wealth, money, land. So the people in Israel, I mean, it's no doubt about it. You can see the quotes, and I'll send you the quotes. Maybe we can put them up on the screen, of Israeli leadership talking about eradicating the Palestinians, wiping out Gaza. This isn't new as a result of the attacks. This conflict did not start 2 weeks ago. They had long-term plans of driving the Palestinians out. And the reason they have to is that's the only way their so-called Jewish state can remain a Jewish state and have any semblance of democracy. Because essentially, the land in Palestine or Israel, whatever you want to call it, especially if you include the occupied territories of the West Bank and Gaza, the majority of the inhabitants have lived there for generations, for over 1,000 years, and they are Palestinians.
Two former American vessels carrying nearly 4,000 Jewish refugees arrive at the port of Haifa, Palestine. Jammed like cattle on the rusty craft, the fugitives end their bleak voyage, which began at a Black Sea port.
And we went from Italy to Palestine. It was not Israel yet, it was Palestine.
Yeah. You went by boat?
By boat. We went to Israel when Israel was not Israel yet.
They outnumber the colonizing European immigrants that came over the last 75 years. The colonizing European immigrants that came over the last 75 years that identify as Jews and as Israelis, as Zionists, they're a minority, but they want to control the land. And how can you as a minority control the land and still call yourself a democracy, unless you basically make the other second-class citizens, where their life is not as equal as yours, where they don't have a vote, where you can kill them with impunity. So the point people have to understand is, by its design, Israel needs to get rid of the millions of Palestinians there, and that is their open stated goal. And that is why they are terrorizing them. This is terrorism. America right now is the biggest funder of terrorism, and that's why the hypocrisy just blows the mind. Because you have Hamas, which is labeled as a designated terrorist organization according to the U.S. government, and then you have Israel. But if we define terrorism as intentional targeting of civilians, or killing of civilians to achieve a political goal. Well, Israel has done exponentially more terrorism. They've killed exponentially more children. They've killed exponentially more civilians than Hamas or any other Palestinian group for that matter. So yet one is a designated terrorist organization and another is funded by us. That's insane. So the Israeli leadership, their goal is very clear. They've been wanting to drive the Palestinians out because Israel cannot remain both a true democracy and a Jewish state. Because if it becomes a true democracy, well, most of the people there are not Jewish. They're going to remove all the laws that give special, unique rights and privileges to the Jewish population there. Everybody will be treated equal. They'll cease to be a Jewish state. So they want to drive the Palestinians out to have control of the land. The merchants of death on the U.S. side, they want to profit from the billions of dollars that they're getting in weapons sales. This is not a conflict. I want people to be very clear because there's a lot of confusion out there and it's unnecessary. This conflict is very simple. This is not a conflict between Muslims and Jews, and I stand by that very strongly.
This is not a Muslim-Jew thing.
This is not a Muslim-Jew conflict. It has nothing to do with that. This is a conflict between... It's not even a conflict. This is atrocities committed by a nuclear, powerful, colonizing superpower. The haves, those with the power, those with the money, those with the resources, which they don't even have independently. They're subsidized by us, Americans. But it's atrocities by that the group which is in power and the people that they are subjugating, they are occupying, they're torturing, they're killing. And in fact, there's many Jews, God bless them, that stand with us.
Many, yeah.
Against Israeli injustice. You'll find throngs of Jewish people standing with us in protest, condemning the atrocities Israel is committing, saying, not in my name. You don't find masses of Muslims protesting in support of Israel because Israel is not the oppressed. It is not the occupied, it is the oppressor, it is the occupier. So you have many Jews, God bless them, standing with us. And as for the victims of this conflict, you have both Muslims and Christians together that are getting slaughtered and treated as second-class citizens. Israel doesn't care if you're Muslim or Christian. If you're Palestinian, they want you out. And that is why we've noticed over the last couple of weeks how many churches, one of the oldest churches in the world, bombed. How many hospitals, you know, Christians killed as well. So this is a conflict between those who have power, the extremist Israeli Zionists funded by the U.S., and those who do not have power that are colonized, be they Muslim or Christian, with many Jewish allies standing in solidarity with them.
We were listening to Joe Rogan, and now he's getting to see. He's kind of changed over the years. He's changed his position. And Joe Rogan's also, he got to see many of these IDF soldiers. There's even IDF soldiers who are coming out. I think it's a group called Breaking the Silence. Have you heard of them?
My Special Forces Infantry unit went to the border. We approach towards Palestinians. They can just be controlled. We can just keep them indefinitely under military occupation, deny them rights, deny them freedoms, the same ones that we cherish for ourselves. They don't have. And it's not about security. It's about ideology. We're ideologically committed to controlling the entire land of Israel exclusively for the Jewish people.
So this is something that's really powerful when you see them coming out, these IDF soldiers, and there, because their conscience is eating away at them. You've seen some of them saying, I can't sleep at night. Did you see somebody's giving testimony?
הוא בא אליי ואומר לי, למה הרגת אותי? למה הרגת אותי? אתה יכול לפקוד ככה ביום אחרי שיש לך ימים כאלה? אתה יכול לאכול? אתה יכול בכלל להסיח בחיים?
I have haunting images coming to me, nightmares of the atrocities that they're doing. So what was your take on some of the things that Joe Rogan was saying?
No, I mean, it's incredible and more people need to hear this. You know, it's interesting because when you talk about engaging with those who have served in the IDF, there's really two groups, but they both say the same thing. Any of them will acknowledge that they either currently or in history had no care for the lives of Palestinians. that Israel, since its inception to this day, has slaughtered countless civilians. There's a great documentary I highly recommend called Tentura, where you have these Tentura, where you have these guys in their 70s and their 80s or even older, speaking about when they were driving the Arabs out and how they wiped out entire villages, just massacred them. The difference is the people of morality that are speaking out, they condemn it. They're ashamed of what they've done, and they are condemning Israel for its war crimes against the Palestinian people. Meanwhile, in the Tentura documentary, these guys are actually celebrating it. They're laughing about how they massacred women and children to create Israel. The Israeli soldiers who were establishing Israel to begin with. And people try to say this is complicated. It's not complicated, and it isn't an old conflict. Muslims and Jews have lived peacefully in Jerusalem, in Palestine, for hundreds and hundreds of years under Islamic rule.
Yeah. How do you go off on that? Because that's another thing, an attack that the Muslims there, they just want to wipe out.
Absolutely not.
All of the Jews, but it's a good point.
We need to talk about that more.
But before this whole thing, the Zionists came, they were living in peace.
And when Saladin conquered Jerusalem from the Crusaders, who slaughtered women and children, the Crusaders, the Christian Crusaders, bragged about having blood to their knees in the blood of innocent Muslims when they conquered Jerusalem. When Saladin conquered it back, first of all, he allowed the Crusaders to go back in peace. He didn't exact revenge. That is what Islam teaches. And then he welcomed like 70 Jewish tribes and families to move in and live. And they've lived peacefully, and we've continued to live peacefully. The people of Palestine and Gaza, they don't hate Israelis because they're Jewish. They hate Israel because Israel keeps bombing the daylights out of them, literally massacring them, killing them. Israeli soldiers can kill Palestinian children with no repercussion. I represented Tariq Abu Khader. This was all over the national media, international media. He was 15 years old at the time. They beat him to a pulp. His face was purple and blue, swollen. They beat him on camera. None of them were held accountable. That's the norm. He got off easy. Thank God they didn't kill him. His cousin was killed, stabbed, and burned alive by Israeli settlers. There was no accountability for it. So they don't hate because they're Jewish. It's not, again, a conflict between Muslims and Jews. It's just a people that are oppressed and occupied. They just want liberty. As the American saying says, give me liberty or give me death. Here's the important point. Ebba Iban, one of the leaders of Israel, he himself acknowledged. He said Jews were treated justly twice in all of history. They face just treatment in the United States, and they face just treatment under Muslim rule.
That's a whole different discussion, not just on its own, the history, how the Jews, they fled persecution to Muslim lands, their golden age in Spain.
Absolutely. The Inquisition is a great example.
That what you just gave, the Inquisition. Right.
When the Ottomans sent ships to save the Muslims, who again, the extremist Christians were butchering Muslims in Spain, and they were butchering Jews. And when the Ottomans sent ships to save the Muslims, and we're proud of this, the first people that they let on the ship were Jews. They said, why are you doing this? They said, they are our citizens as well. We will protect them. That's what Islam's about. We have one God. You cannot honor the God. You cannot honor God if you dishonor his creation. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, I will be the advocate of a Jew or Christian living under Muslim rule that is oppressed by the Muslims.
So this is a farce. This is just something that's so, so far away from fact.
It's intentional. It's intentional propaganda. So what they're trying to do is paint Palestinian resistance movements and just paint the Palestinian cause as, oh, these Arabs, these Muslims, they just don't like Jews and they want to kill them because they're Jews and they want to get rid of them. No, nothing could be further from the truth. They coexisted and had been. But the issue is now the Palestinians have been occupied and oppressed by Israel.
So the Muslims would like to live together in peace with their Jews. No problem with that.
Absolutely.
But now you see this flaunted like this is the only democracy. But then you have, how do you have people who were exiled from there? What was it in 1940? How many? 750,000. They had the first Nakba. And then how many people? How many
Muslims?
They
have no right to return to their homeland.
Yeah. So they can't. So someone who's never visited, he has the right of return.
Right.
So under the only democracy, how does that work?
So right now, anyone who's Jewish in the world has the right to go to Israel, birthright, they call it.
Yeah.
And they will pay and fly them out and give them this tour of Israel, fully paid for. that you have people who are driven from their homes in Palestine, Palestinians, who have lived there for hundreds and hundreds of years uninterrupted, who still have the title to their homes, but they're not able to return. Even those that are living there, if, you know, family members are in West Bank and Gaza and Jerusalem, if they can't even visit each other, and if they do, they're treated like second-class citizens. They have to get special permits. They line up through cages. Palestinians are treated like second-class citizens.
And you can go down the list of all of the inhumane, one thing, but then the rights that one person gets. And you can't, I mean, that's why people like the person who was... Jimmy Carter was there. He called it apartheid state.
That's it.
You had Nelson Mandela called it apartheid. He said it's worse. It was worse than what the African Americans were going through. So you have one set of law for the Zionists there, the Zionist Jews, and then you have another set of inhumane rights for you have streets. Like you have streets.
Literally different streets, even different roads.
Roads. Like,
job is actually to maintain an apartheid system. Very early on, I understood that the rights that the Jewish settlers have are not the rights that the Palestinians have. I understood that I cannot touch a Jewish settler if he is attacking a Palestinian. The best I can do is call a local police department to come handle it, like I would do at home in Jerusalem. So these Jewish settlers that live in Hebron are living under the same rights that I live in Jerusalem, but the Palestinian next to them, next house over, next building over, sometimes next apartment over, lives under my rule, my military rule, and I can do whatever I want with him. I can take his home as a temporary base for a few hours to a few days to a few weeks. I can decide that I'm arresting the people of the house and tying them up to defense of my base. If you will get an order to demolish their home or just lock their front door and don't let them out into the street their house is on, a street that only Jewish settlers can walk on. And Palestinian cannot, so they have to walk through windows, to yards, into the other side, into the Kasbah of Hebron. I think realizing all of that in a very, very early stage in my service helped me understood that someone was lying to me along the way. I didn't feel like I'm protecting anyone. I didn't feel like I'm helping anyone feeling more safe. I felt like I'm terrorizing people.
I have excellent rights. I have health. There are cities in Israel being built for Jews only, and also in the West Bank, settlements being built for Israeli Jews only, while Palestinians are hemmed in, unable to build cities, and their homes are being demolished for lack of permits that are almost impossible to get. The Israeli authorities are engaging in forcible transfer, where they remove Palestinian communities in the West Bank to make room for settlements. All of these are part of the root causes of the violence. There's terrible abuses going on. You just have to listen to what people on the ground are telling you and adjust accordingly.
The Muslim, the Palestinian,
it's
Muslim,
about every
even the Christian, yes. Christian, Palestinian, they can't correct. Go down these streets, these correct. Roads, one set of rights.
People have died, literally trying to get to a hospital, but they can't get to it because they have to take these roads that are filled with checkpoints where the soldiers can arbitrarily deny you access to the hospital. So many unarmed civilians have been killed at these checkpoints. It's horrific. And
the IDF, that's what they tell, they can go ahead and harass without any kind of consequences.
Correct.
They can seize,
harass, kill, seize homes.
Seize a home, no problem.
100%. That, it's an apartheid system, and that's the point. When people try to say it's complicated, it's not, unless you're an idiot. Really, it's not complicated.
Just take yourself, you know, the Hannity's or some of
sure.
these people, you know, put yourself in this position, we ask, like, and live like they're living. Try to live and let's see how far you would...
Oh, absolutely.
How you'd be like, man, these Palestinians are very patient people.
Right, right.
75, how many
extremely
years?
Extremely patient.
They've been dealing
with... The situation's very simple. Israel, again, was established through ethnic cleansing. The Israeli soldiers that established Israel acknowledged going to Arab village after village and either driving the people out at gunpoint or just straight up killing them and their women and their children, all right? After it was established, the Palestinians still remained the majority. So therefore, Israel established an apartheid system whereby the Palestinians are treated like second-class citizens. Worse than just second-class citizens, they're treated as subhuman and they're painted as subhuman by Israeli leadership. And you look at the polls and the data, a vast majority of even people within Israel, again, don't believe Arabs are as intelligent, don't believe that they're entitled to equal rights, and they're not given equal rights. And they are continuously arrested without just cause, imprisoned for years, homes taken away, killed in cold blood. I mean, you look at the West Bank. West Bank has no Hamas, all right? And yet, they have peace agreements with Israel. And despite those agreements, Israel continues to illegally build settlements within the West Bank and occupy land there, and continuously kill children. Over the last week, 20 Palestinian children in the West Bank have been killed by Israel. This is horrific. These are war crimes. It's not complicated. Let's stop justifying and enabling aggression.
You've heard of Norman Finkelstein?
Yes, excellent.
Yeah, he's Jewish. His family, Holocaust survivors. And when you listen to someone like that, somebody who's invested 40 years, I believe, of his life into this, and he was making an example with what was just happening, and he gave kind of something that's not 100% the same, but he gave an example here how in America we're holding certain people from history that at one time when you had the revolt of Nat Turner, the rebellion, the slave rebellion, and then you had the people like William Lloyd Garrison and others who were trying to free the slaves, and all the oppression that the slaves were going through over and over and over. And then William Lloyd Garrison and the like, they kept warning, you know, what you're doing to these people, it's wrong, you know, it's going to come back. And then they had the slave revolt. And yes. Norman Finkelstein, he ends up using this and showing how now people like William Lloyd Garrison, they made statues of him, how they're praised right. in American history now.
I mean, what else do you expect? And actually, my friends who are very much in pro-Israeli circles have even acknowledged this, that are in the political space. Once we engage with them, they acknowledge essentially what we saw happening out of Gaza was no different than a slave revolt. If you take people, you imprison them. The people of Gaza, by Israel's own leadership, are living in an open-air prison. The saying is, if you're born in Gaza, you're born dead.
See, people, this is another point, very important for the layperson, average American, or every, they don't have no idea.
They
so
they
want to just leave. They're trapped in there.
They're literally trapped.
They can't build. They can't go fishing a certain route from the sea.
That's the wrong question. I hate when, why don't they just leave? It's like, Why doesn't Israel just stop killing them? How about that? That's the right question.
Why doesn't the person in jail get out of the jail?
Exactly.
He can't leave the jail. Exactly. They're actually trapped.
Exactly. So they're in an open-air prison. Israel actually counts the calories. It only allows food in the country for people to barely survive. 97% of the people of Gaza don't have access to clean drinking water. Israel controls the utilities, the water. They have their own aquifer systems, but Israel blows them up and doesn't allow them to get the material to rebuild. So they're starved, they're deprived of clean water, they're not given the ability to get out or travel or get a passport. They're treated as subhuman. You take people and you lock them up and you deprive them of their basic rights and liberties and their ability to survive. That's all they want for so long. And eventually you're going to have a slave rebellion. So for people to act shocked, I think is very disingenuous. The other interesting thing, Eddie, is that these, after the attack, a lot of these Israelis have been saying, well, let's wipe Gaza off the face of the earth. Let's just eliminate the people of Gaza. Let's bomb them back to the Stone Age. And it's like, okay, so because of one attack that you faced, now you're justifying horrific war crimes. Well, what about the fact that the Palestinians have been facing such horrific attacks for the last 75 years? You don't think they're going to want to respond with a level of violence? Look, we all want peace, but you're a liar or a hypocrite if you think peace can be achieved with the status quo. The status quo lacks justice. It treats Palestinians as second-class citizens. Their life is not sacred. In fact, Israel continuously has killed thousands. The data shows that for every one Israeli killed, 20 Palestinians have been killed. Israel kills far more civilians. You cannot have peace absent justice. So we need a just peace. We need to change the status quo.
It's interesting. You'll see when anybody who's sincere looks into this, then they start to see like what's apparent. It's not something that's in a gray area that's, you know, confusing. It's pretty straightforward. Just put yourself in that situation and let's see if you can have someone count your calories for you. give you a certain amount of water, dirty water, and control of your airspace, your fishing space. Like, it's pretty much, they control everything. But then you hear people like the Ben Shapiro's and others, they say, well, they're not, as the UN and others call this, illegal occupation. Someone like him, he'll spout these lies saying that, well, Israel pulled out in 2005. They pulled out. How would you respond to that?
These people, the only people who truly support Israel right now here, either have sold their souls, have been bought and paid for, or genuinely are evil within their heart. They genuinely see the Palestinians as second-class citizens, and they don't value their human life. You know, the biggest hypocrisy that irritates me is when I hear from American politicians saying, Israel has a right to defend itself. Cut the BS out. You're not defending yourself when you're bombing, carpet bombing a civilian population. You're not defending yourself when in one day you're killing 500 children. And maybe you would have gotten away with this 10, 20 years ago before social media really became prevalent. But now, when you go on screen and say, Israel has a right to defend itself, but the world is witnessing Israel slaughtering thousands of children, pushing buttons on jets and blowing up entire residential buildings. One of my friends in Boca, he messaged me. He said, our family building was bombed. 42 of our family members were killed by Israel in one night. So when people say Israel has a right to defend itself, but we see it's not defending itself. It's literally carpet bombing and killing thousands of civilians. These politicians look bought and paid for or hypocritical. They look like idiots. They look like liars. And I think the world is going to have enough of this.
Norman Finkelstein, again, an expert, academic, Jew. Like I said earlier, he's somebody who's dedicated 40 years. When he was asked this question, he was interviewed and about the human shields. You hear this a lot. And what he said, look, this is according to Professor Norman Finkelstein. He said, look, we're not going to go ahead and look to people who have an interest, idea for the other group here. They have an interest. So we're not going to go ahead and take anything from them. But let's look at others who don't. And then he quotes the agencies, the human rights agencies in Israel. He says, let's see what they're reporting. He starts with that. Then he starts with other human rights organizations, such as Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International. He points to the relating to this question that comes up often. It's a talking point over and over and over, along with the one you said about defending yourself. IDS reservists who organized and have the group breaking the silence. Let's see what they say, the reports with them. They say, along with the UN investigative body, and then go check Norman Finkelstein on this, he says there's no evidence to this human shield, but opposite, it's the Palestinians that are being used as human shield by the IDF. This is mind-blowing.
You will never find any documentation of...
So he listed all these organizations.
Literally.
He read through all
literally,
of the reports.
Literally.
Nope, you see, people don't read the reports. They don't go and look at credible sources.
They look at, you know, they're listening to the mainstream media, again, that has its agenda, that cannot be trusted. But I think with the advent of social media, the narrative is breaking, because basically what you do have is these international human rights organizations that have done the documentation, and then you have people on the ground documenting it themselves, and then through social media we can witness it. So you won't find any videos of Palestinian resistance, you know, forcing their fellow countrymen, whose support they enjoy. They have the support of the people. The people support the resistance movements, because they're tired of being blown up by Israel. They're tired of being treated like second-class citizens. They saw what happened in the West Bank didn't work. They saw that when the West Bank laid down their weapons, Israel continued to colonize, continued to kill, continued a system of apartheid. People will not put up with oppression. They will resist, and it is their God-given right. Now, that never means you intentionally target children and innocent civilians. But the reality is there was a lot of propaganda put out to misrepresent what was happening, to misrepresent what happened, in order to dehumanize the Palestinians, to justify the disproportionate and unjust response. But ultimately, the reality is, when you look at the data, you will not find Palestinian resistance fighters using their fellow countrymen as human shields. You will find much footage of Israeli soldiers like cowards hiding behind children with the weapons, using children as human shields. They're the biggest liars and the biggest hypocrites. And social media, I think, is going to help us change the narrative and debunk this. The other thing that I want to get at is the atrocities Israel is doing with U.S. tax dollars is so horrific, so mind-bogglingly wrong, immoral, dare I say, pure evil, that they cannot handle a free and open, fair conversation about it. So they always want to get on the offensive and they want to point to Hamas and make the conversation about condemning Hamas. I'm sick and tired of that because here's the reality. There is no moral obligation on us as Americans to condemn Hamas because guess what? Our government already has. Our government's labeled them a terrorist organization. So if everyone were to march in the street tomorrow condemning Hamas, it will not change a thing. They don't have our support. They do not have America's financial or legal support. So our opinion on them is irrelevant. We're not supporting them. When you don't support something, you have no obligation to condemn it. There's many crimes that happen all over the world. We don't have to sit and condemn everyone because it has nothing to do with us. However, we do fund Israel's crimes against the Palestinian people. The 2,000 children that have been killed in Gaza over the last 2 weeks, we as Americans have their blood on our hands. And because of that, we do have a moral obligation to condemn Israel because we fund them. So the conversation should never be about Hamas. It always must be about the group that we are funding and enabling. We must condemn their actions and we must stop sending billions of tax dollars that are so desperately needed to save the lives of children at home. We should not be sending it to kill children abroad. And then this plan will not work for Israel. What do they think they're accomplishing? They can either completely wipe out the Palestinians and commit a mass Holocaust, or if they don't, what's going to happen is every single child who saw his sister, who saw her brother, who saw their parents blown up in pieces before their very eyes, they will rightfully want to have armed resistance against Israel. They're creating a new generation of soldiers to fight them.
What do you think now? You see, and this was surprising because from a lot of the conservative side, people who you were thinking now were aligning more with Muslim values, especially with the whole Alpha movement, looking to work together and really going up against the woke culture of cancellation and whatnot and freedom of speech. And now they're actually doing what they've been complaining of as happening to them. And now with the protests, and most Muslims like myself and others really don't follow much of the different groups that are there. Most probably didn't even know who Hamas, they say Hamas, who Hamas, like have no idea, right? But now they're trying to lump everybody in, like they supporting these certain groups, shifting the conversation, and now even trying to ban these protests and whatnot, so they're attacking the freedom of speech. Because most people who are going to the protests, they're just worried about the kids. They're looking about the innocent people who are dying.
The people that are protesting in support of Palestine are simply protesting for the right of Palestinians
They're not protesting for Hamas.
They just want, here's the crazy thing.
But you see this.
No, I understand. Look. Again, the people protesting for Palestine are simply protesting for the right of Palestinians
for freedom,
to live. For freedom, for liberty. Just for the right to live.
For right
Those
to live.
Those supporting Israel, they're protesting, they're supporting Israel's so-called right to blow up children. One side is protesting for life. The other is protesting for the right to murder. Pro-Palestinian protesters are protesting for the right of Palestinians to live free of bombing and free of apartheid. And the pro-Israeli supporters are protesting for Israel's ability to bomb and kill civilians.
You've always seen a spin put on this. When you had the right of return march, was it? This was a few years ago, I believe. And you had people in wheelchairs. You had people, no, they were just there by the border, just protesting. You had journalists and elderly, young, old. They were there, trying to do anything they can to try to create some awareness and whatnot. And I believe it was like hundreds were shot, hundreds were killed. You know about this protest, right? The March of Return. There was no weapons, there was no armed resistance, but they again spun it around. They always spin it somehow.
They're very, I mean, because they're spending, let's be clear, the Israel propaganda machine is literally spending hundreds of millions of dollars on propaganda, from talking points to lobbying to media engagement. A lot of the pro-Israeli, whether they're politicians or media personalities, are bought and paid for or funded. See, everything I'm doing, pro-Palestine and pro-human rights, alhamdulillah, I'm not getting $1 for. I'm actually sacrificing work at my law firm to do this. In my law firm right now, we at MuslimLegal.com, we've established two programs to support human rights for the Palestinians. The first is PalestineCensored.com. We are documenting the incidents of people advocating for human rights for Palestinians having their social media pages shut down by the big social media platforms. And we're pushing to get them reinstated and to challenge those censorship policies. Number two is we are offering free legal representation to anyone who faces unjust criminal charges because they are protesting or engaging in civil disobedience. We are not getting paid to do what we do. We do it because we believe in it. The Ben Shapiro's, even the Bidens that are speaking out in support of Israel, it's because of the financial benefit or really the dogmatic extremism that they have. They're bought and paid for. They sold their souls.
I want to go into ayah or verse from the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran. It really strikes home for me here. And this is in the second chapter of the Quran, where God Almighty, Allah, is saying in the meaning, which is, "And when it is said to them, make not mischief on the earth, they say, we're peacemakers. You know, we're the ones making peace. Verily, they are the ones who make mischief, but they perceive it not." What do you think when you hear this ayah?
This was one of the first ayat I posted. Look, right now I'm going to tell you, whether you're a Muslim or not, if you want peace to get through the traumatizing aspect of witnessing, imagine this, we are traumatized and we're not sleeping, just witnessing on our phones the horrific atrocities happening to Israel. When I'm home with my child and I see my two-year-old daughter come and yell, "Daddy, Daddy," and come and hug me, my heart aches because I remember all the children that I saw, Palestinians, that have been killed in cold blood with our tax dollars. All the fathers will never be able to hug their children again. All the children will never be able to hug their parents again. We're getting traumatized just witnessing it. Imagine the trauma they're getting facing it. And I think to cope with this, to find strength, we need to return to the Quran. So I encourage everyone, Muslim and not Muslim, read the Quran, read the translation of the Quran, ponder. It has answers to all of this. This was one of the first verses. "And if they are told, do not cause corruption on earth, they say, we are but peacemakers. No, they are indeed the corruptors." And we see this. They go on TV saying, Israel has a right to defend itself. So when you imagine that you said somebody's getting attacked, okay, and they're just defending themselves. Israel's not defending itself. Israel is literally killing thousands of civilians. And even this whole thing about evacuation, they allegedly drop leaflets saying, okay, evacuate North Gaza. Well, first of all, Israel bombed the very evacuation routes it told people to take. It was a death trap. Wow. Secondly, evacuation is not a nice humanitarian thing. Evacuation is the definition of ethnic cleansing. They're basically saying, we want to take over this area, so get out, because if you stay, we're going to kill you. That's a crime. That's not humanity. That's illegal. It's immoral. It's evil. So they go and they say, we're but peacemakers, but they're the ones that are killing. And watch how much there is footage of Israelis, and whether it's your average citizen or their government leadership that is openly advocating for exterminating the Arabs. It's horrific.
If you look at this term, anti-Semitic, let's get into that for a moment. And I'll show a clip here. You actually have someone who's an Israeli.
People here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money, and the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay, they are talented people and they have power, money and media and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. and they are not ready to hear criticism.
Who actually admits that this is used just to...
It is used. Look, one argument I don't care for much is when people say, oh, well, we're Semitic too, so we can't be anti-Semitic. It's true, we are Semitic too, but I'm not going to waste my time debating that, regardless of the terms. When it comes down to it, you know, are we being anti-Jewish by condemning Israel? Absolutely not. And unfortunately, the Israeli propaganda machine is trying to say when you criticize Israel, it's because you don't like Jews. No, that has nothing to do. In fact, we stand in solidarity with countless honorable Jewish men and women that say, not in my name, don't kill Palestinians.
Do you make a distinction between Zionists and
Jews? Of course. So I absolutely distinguish between Zionists, ISIS. That's what I call them. I don't call them Zionists. I call them Zionists. That's what they are. With all due respect, ISIS was this horrific group that wanted to kill everyone who did not share 100% their dogma. And they caused a lot of corruption on this earth, and they killed many civilians. Zionists want to take over this land and get rid of all of those that don't share their religion. It's horrific. It's criminal. But we absolutely distinguish between Zionists and Jews. Many of our Jewish brothers and sisters stand in solidarity with us. We're not hating Israel because they're Jewish. We're hating them because they're committing horrific crimes against humanity. And the reality is there's nothing wrong with the idea of having a Jewish state. But you cannot have a Jewish state if the majority of the people who live in that land are not Jewish and you're going to treat them differently. Then I'm against that. I'm also against having a Muslim state where the majority of the people that are living there are not Muslim and you're going to treat them as second-class citizens. It's not right.
You're seeing people come out of the closet also, some that might have not necessarily spoken out on some of the verses in the Bible.
Mm.
And now you'll see, I don't know if you see some of the rabbis who are actually, and if you contrast that with Islam, the rules of engagement, where the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he clearly stated that one cannot attack non-combatants, women, children, elderly, and all the rest. We'll put this up here, very clear. But I don't know if you've seen some of the rabbis.
Yeah, I posted it. Put the clip up, Eddie. I mean...
Anyone who is merciful over vicious people ultimately will become vicious towards merciful people. There is no permission from the Torah to have any mercy whatsoever during war. Not on children, not on women, not on anybody. Why? Because if a person understands what is war and why you're fighting.
You know, put it up on this video. Literally, a Zionist Israeli extremist rabbi saying, do not even have mercy on the children. And they're quoting their holy text. Again, I don't believe that.
Now imagine
that
if a Muslim imam was out there saying something like this, which you can't find that in Islam.
We wouldn't say that.
There was nobody who could say that because 100%. The text says don't kill innocent women.
And that's exactly what was...
If they go towards peace, go to peace.
100%.
This is the Quran, 100%. Right?
And that's, thank God some hostages, some elderly women, Israelis were released within the past 24 hours. And they went on the media and they said, listen, our captors told us, don't worry, we follow the Quran, we will not harm you.
That's what they were saying.
That's literally what they were told.
But that's opposite what we're getting from the...
Well, and that's why the media was so upset. They're like, shoot, this is breaking our narrative. Because again, the narrative they want to do is paint Hamas as if it's like ISIS, and that they just hate the Israelis because they're Jewish and they just want to kill all the Jews in the world. That's not what it's about. Hamas formed, I think it was 30, 40 years after the establishment of Israel, as a direct resistance to this subjugation of the Palestinian people by Israel.
But Ron Paul was saying this is a creation of Israel.
That's a theory that goes out. It's not one that I necessarily promote or advocate. Some say Israel funded them. Some say Israel created them to create dissent between there. But if you speak to the people, I've spoken to many people from Gaza on the ground, and they say, listen, this is a resistance movement that has the support of the local population. And an easy way out, a cop out, and some of my friends really care for Palestinian children. They really do. And they're very staunch on the sort of conservative side. They're like, well, listen, this is between Hamas and Israel, and they just got to get rid of Hamas and protect the Palestinian people. What they're not understanding is the Palestinian people voted for Hamas years ago because they were tired of the Israeli occupation. Hamas is a direct result of Israeli occupation. I'm going to tell you straight up right now, if in America, if China came in and decided to take over our land, to take over Florida, right, to take over the United States, to kill entire cities, right, to drive Americans from their homes, and then to corner Americans to live in slums, you don't think we would create our own American Hamas? And its point wouldn't be to kill the Chinese because they're Chinese. It would be to fight back, to call for freedom and justice. And I think the majority of the resistance would be legitimate resistance. But guess what? You better bet them. Some of them would probably make mistakes, and that's horrific. But it would be nowhere near the atrocities and the crimes that China would have done by invading our land. And imagine then China just keeps wanting to talk about our resistance movement. That's not what the conversation should be about. The resistance movement would not exist without something to resist. What are they resisting? It's not the presence of Jews. Jews have lived under Muslim rule, coexisted peacefully for hundreds of years. What they're resisting is occupation. If you want to end the resistance, you must end the occupation.
Why do you think it's so hard for... We don't have a problem. We say all life is precious life, rather be Jewish, Israeli, whoever. All, you know, Islam condemns, you know, killing of any innocent human beings, obviously. But then on the other side, you see them looking at the... painting the picture as their animals, rats.
Eddie, please put up the quotes of what top Israeli leadership have been saying about the Palestinians. Painting them as animals, subhuman, wanting to flatten Gaza, kill them. That's the crazy thing. That it's entrenched within them because they realize they cannot exist if the Palestinians are there. They cannot exist as a true democracy. They have to get rid of them. How do you get rid of a people unless you really think that they're subhuman, that they're barbaric, that they're not worthy of life?
But this is what Hitler actually did, and then now they're calling them Nazis. Mm. But then this is what the Nazis, the Hitler, he had a special unit of people in the propaganda and his media, and that is doing exactly what they're doing now to the
100%. That's Muslims. What's ironic about
they were calling them rats at that time.
That's what's ironic.
Isn't that ironic? So the one who was oppressed became the oppressor.
He became the oppressor.
This is just, it's mind-blowing.
It's insane, and that's why you actually do have many Holocaust survivors or the children thereof. I mean, Norman Finkelstein is a great example of that.
Miko Pilled.
Yes, many others who've said, listen, our parents, our grandparents went through the Holocaust, and now we're witnessing Israel doing a Holocaust in Gaza.
These are Jews now.
These are Jewish. Yeah.
Who align with Palestinians. This is something that people should look at. Like they're putting their neck on the lines.
Let's just value human life equally. That's what we're calling for. Let's stop the bombing. And again, stopping the bombing is the first step, but you can't then just go back to the status quo where you have people living in an open-air prison, calorie counting them, not allowing them...
Open concentration camps.
Open concentration camps, denying them citizenship, denying them the right to vote. And that's why, listen, I will challenge anyone to accept the solution. I will challenge Israeli leadership. You're about a democracy, but they won't because it's entrenched within their actual laws in their country. Be a true democracy. Make it one person, one vote. Doesn't matter if they're Jewish or Palestinian, equal rights for all. That's what we're calling for. That's what we're calling for. One person, one vote, equal rights for all, regardless of your ethnicity or your religion if you live there. That's it. That's what we're calling for, and that's what they're against. How can you be against a system where everyone is equal under the law? You're on the wrong side of history if you're against that. We're calling for equality and liberty. They're calling for death and apartheid.
Our intention here, I'm really, wanting to sincerely help people to see the hypocrisy here and to help stop, you know, be a small voice to try to create some awareness to help stop the murder of the children, the kids. This is what's the innocent human beings and anybody with a heart, if it's alive. I mean, if you care, I mean, God Almighty, the Creator, is not going to support a group of people to be unjust, to be unfair, to be massacring innocent children. It doesn't make any sense. And here's my next question. I'll ask you a couple more. We'll come to an end. You say Zionists. We understand. Link back to some of these people. That we're talking about, but then you have, it's a strange relationship, really. The Christians who are also now supporting this, and they call themselves Christian Zionists.
Yes, it's ironic. So you have a couple issues with that. I think number one is that they have turned their back on their Christian Palestinian brothers and sisters. You have videos of Palestinian Christians getting spit on by the occupying settler Israelis. You have one of the oldest churches in the world getting bombed by Israel. You have so many Palestinian Christians being killed and oppressed and treated as second-class citizens by the Israelis. So they're being persecuted themselves. You know, it goes back to dogma. I think the ironic thing is they believe that there must be this Israeli state for the Messiah to return. And then what is he going to do, ironically? He's going to fight the Jews himself.
So they're setting up the Jews.
So they want him to succeed so they can set them up. It's insane. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. I would say, let's take a step out of dogma. And that's why Islam is so beautiful. It's a pure faith of natural reason. It is really isn't dogmatic. It's not that you have to really just believe something that doesn't make sense, that's irrational. What does Islam say? That your heart should grieve when you see a Jewish child or a Muslim child or a Christian child killed. We saw the world up in arms when there was the false rumor, atrocity propaganda. And this propaganda was used to dehumanize the Palestinians to justify the actual war crimes by Israel against them, where they claimed 40 babies were beheaded. Never happened. Never happened. But you know what? 2,000 Palestinian children have been killed by Israel, many of whom are babies that have been decapitated by American-made and funded bombs. Where is the outrage for that? The world, we will never forget the outrage at 40 fake babies and the silence at the thousands of babies and children killed with our tax dollars. We must be ashamed, and we will answer to God. Mark my words, the day will come, and God may ask each and every one of us, what did we do? And I do not know how the Bidens, certainly not the Netanyahus, will stand before God. The Quran says, whoever kills an innocent soul, doesn't classify religion, just any nafs, any person, any soul, whoever kills an innocent soul, it's as if they have killed all humanity. And whoever saves a life, it is as if they have saved all humanity. We are working to save lives. We do want an end to conflict. We want a just peace. We want peace, but we know there cannot be peace without justice. So we want justice for the Palestinians and peace, because that's the only way to achieve peace. They're calling for more bloodshed and more violence. They will have to answer to God. And Allah says in the Quran, do not think God is unaware of what the wrongdoers are doing. He's just delaying them to a day when their eyes will stare in horror, when all the violence, all the evil they justify displayed before them, and they will have to answer to God for that. As for those, I mean, my heart grieves for all the innocents killed. Do not lose hope. God says, do not be weary, do not lose hope. We have tested previous nations until even, he said, in fact, you think you'll enter paradise without being tested like the previous nations? They were afflicted with trials and tribulations and were so shaken until the messenger and those around him said, where's the help of God? Surely it is near. And another verse, he says that he allows you to go through such hardship that he may take from you martyrs, those women, those children, those innocent civilians killed in cold blood while they're just huddled as a family trying to survive the bombing of the night. Those are the martyrs that God is taking. They're enjoying paradise forever, but the damnation is on those who enabled their wrongful murder.
That's good. We'll finish. We'll conclude on that. Any person, it seems like, if you're void of God, you use religion to kind of justify it. Now, that's one thing, you know. Then you're following the devil. But if you have any iota of faith or belief in God, this is totally unacceptable.
100%.
Any kind of moral code, anything, this is just totally...
If you're a truly religious Muslim, Christian, or Jew, you'd be against this violence and you'd be speaking out against it. May God make us sources of peace in this land and justice, not sources of corruption. Amen.
Thank you.
My brother. God bless. Salaam
alaikum. Salaam.
Brothers and sisters, we've all had loved ones that passed away. A mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a close family member. But one of the mercies of our deen is that with the right intention, we can go ahead and continue to do good deeds on our loved ones' behalf. And what greater of a continuous good deed, sadaqah jariyah, than investing on their behalf in the Deen Center, a masjid and mega dawah center that will benefit generations to come, inshallah. So click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.